Hey, everybody out there in comic book land. You're listening to Stash My Comics Podcast, Episode 10. We've hit double digits. I am Matt B., and with me is...
Captain Steve, who is sick right now.
He is sick.
I'm dying.
You probably can't notice it. You must have taken some pretty good medication there.
I got, amoxicillin. I took two Tylenols. I got these, like, high-powered sore throat lozenges. I can't say that word. Cipacol or whatever it's called, but they're doing the job, so I'm ready to rock and roll.
Well, cool. Well, we're going to do our show kind of like we regularly do, and we'll start off with the news, and then we're going to do a couple reviews, take a little break and talk a little bit about the StashMyComics.com site, and then go on to our special feature. So, like we always do, the pleasantries out of the way, we go right to the news. Well, it's definitely the right move for them.
Update number 8 was released. Broke the record for highest selling comic book of all time. Top secret classified documents.
All right. So, news. We got it. You like it. What do you want to start off with?
You know what? I want to tackle this Todd McFarlane thing.
Okay.
You read about this. I know I sent you the link and everything. I didn't know if you skimmed through it, but hopefully you did. This sounds really cool. I guess since Image Comics has been doing so well and they hit their 20th anniversary, Todd McFarlane is going to do, I think, what was it, all 12 issues for the year, do the cover work for them.
Okay.
It was either 9 or 12, I want to say. But this is awesome. I love McFarlane's work. He is definitely one of the top innovators, I say like top 10 innovators of comic book art.
Oh, yeah.
So what he's doing for this, for the first few issues, he's going to be giving like a happy birthday to all his cohorts. The first one he's going to do, I want to say, is 220. And it's going to be an exact replica of Savage Dragon number 1 by Eric Larson. It's going to be in the same art style, same pose, same logo, and it looks great.
Cool.
And let's see. Then he's going to do Youngblood number 1. So I forgot what issue 1 looked like, but I think it was a team shot. So and it's going to be Spawn though. It's going to be a Spawn type group cover, hopefully. And let's see what else. So I don't know if he's going to do any of the other guys. Some are the first few he has out right now that he's released, and let's see, Spawn 220 is going to be hitting the stores on June 6th.
Cool.
So I think I'm definitely going to pick up Spawn now just because of this reason. So because I haven't seen Todd do work in years. I don't even know the last time he's done anything.
I know. It seems that he's just been focusing on his toy line.
Oh, yeah, his toy line's his baby. But They're great figures, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they definitely are. Well, cool. In other independent news, coming out of WonderCon, I found a little interesting tidbit on Dynamite's Prophecy event. And it's always interesting when these independents come out with their own event to kind of you finally get a sense of what their universe is like. And, you know, this is going to have Vampirella and Queen Sonya or Red Sonya.
Yeah, right.
I don't know the difference between those two, do you?
No, I thought they were just something out of, like, Conan.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're the same. If you know,
Never
email
read
us.
Them.
podcast@stashmycomics.com. I've read some of the Red Sonya and Queen Sonya, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of difference. Right. But
yeah,
anyhow,
I got a little background on Vampirella. I got, like, maybe one or two issues of Vampirella.
Okay.
So.
Well, the Prophecy is playing with the whole Mayan calendar thing, you know, the world ending in 2012. So it's an appropriate event, and it should be interesting to see, sort of get a peek on their universe and how everybody interacts in there.
Yeah, it's weird that they're throwing like Vampirella into something like this. This mm-hmm. is, you know, it throws me off. I'm looking at the little picture they have in it, and it looks like they have another vampire dude in the background
mm-hmm.
and some decaying looking figure in the background. I don't know who that is. So.
Yeah, Ron Mars is going to be writing it, and drawing will be Walter Giovanni, Covers by Paul Renaud. I guess that's how you would say that. But yeah, it's a self-contained event, so you don't have to buy, you know, all the crossovers. It's seven issues.
There's not 300 issues I have to buy?
You don't have to. I think that's how they're trying to get people in. Like, hey, look, like the other ones, you can buy them, but it's not necessary.
Well, if there's not a minimum of at least 200 issues to buy, I'm not even going to bother with it because
yeah.
Buying six issues is just not worth my time. So, horrible.
Well, that was my – there's actually another WonderCon piece I want to talk about, but you go ahead and get your next news item out of the way, and I will look mine up.
Okay, all right. Okay, I love my video games. Everybody knows this. So, anyways, we have new DLC coming out for Batman Arkham Asylum. No, not Asylum, Arkham City. My bad. So, it looks like this was released – the piece I got was on April Fool's Day, so people do not know if this was an April Fool's joke. Did a little background. It does not look like it is an April Fool's joke because some of the PlayStation 3 sites, Xbox sites I go to, you can look at the achievements and trophies. Well, they are up there. We are seeing a Harley Quinn DLC content coming out.
Hmm.
So, and beforehand, you know, they did, what was it, Nightwing, Robin, and Catwoman. So this game is just building more.
Cool.
So I'm really looking forward to this. I haven't bought Arkham City yet. I've beaten the heck out of Asylum. Awesome game. If you haven't played it yet, just go buy it. Skip a week of comic books. Just go buy the game because the game is amazing.
I know. I want to play it so bad. Xbox broke down. I got one of the very first ones.
Oh.
And it broke down right after that date where you could get it fixed for nothing. So
it wasn't a red ring, was it?
Oh, yeah. I got the red rings of death.
Oh,
and I tried to
no.
fix it and wound up making it worse.
You should have just took a shotgun to it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be looking forward to this. I want to go buy Arkham City because now it's like $30 at Best Buy now. But I don't know if I want to buy it because they're going to come out with the Game of the Year edition and it's going to have all the DLC content to it.
Might as well wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get my little tweet on the Suicide Squad possible game?
Yes, I did. That was a while back ago.
Yeah, and it was mentioned a while ago, and you know, Geoff Johns even, you know, talked a little bit about it, but I haven't heard anything since.
I'm all for it.
I hope that's a possibility.
I'm all for it.
I think that would be a game that could sort of cross generations, you know, of gamers, because you wouldn't necessarily have to be a comic book fan to sort of get the whole, you know, you're playing as a bad guy for your life kind of theme.
Yeah, exactly. Man.
Well, cool.
So that's my piece. That was my little piece. So for the gamers out there.
Alrighty. Well, moving on. WonderCon also came out with my favorite piece of news, Punisher in Space. Those three words. And it's basically the Punisher brings justice to the cosmos. And apparently, it's going to be an alien mobster theme. I mean, there's really not much else you can do with Punisher after Frankencastle, but somebody topped it. And they said, hey, let's do the Punisher in space. And fortunately for me, because I like Punisher and space stuff, Marvel said yes. And this will be coming out in July. And it's
just... This is amazing. This is just crazy. I picture Punisher teaming up with Nova or somebody like that. And hey, you know, let's go after some awesome, you know, BA type Cosmo guy. Hey, let's go after Galactus. You know, that's what I picture now. So.
Yeah, and there's a cool picture. This was courtesy of Newsarama, and if you look it up on there, they have a great piece that has already been designed, and it's Punisher with a space helmet on and looks like two laser guns.
So. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks like it's somebody's like mask.
Yeah, reflecting him coming at them.
It's cool.
Yeah,
space guns, little space suit.
That's gonna be fun. So, and of course, you know, there's Avengers versus X-Men going on. We can't not mention that. But I know you're not getting it. I'm not getting it. But I did pick up the. Did you hear about the digital comic that they were doing for 99 cents?
No, I did not. Yeah, I'm not really big in that the digital scene,
Okay,
but
well, they basically took sort of a prequel to the event, and it was a Nova comic for like 99 cents,
boy.
and it really showcases what you can do with digital. If any of you get a chance to download it, definitely do it to kind of see where digital's going. It's not animated or anything, but it's like every time you swipe your finger, not just a page will turn, but a lot of times you have a different panel pop up and different words, and then there's this cool shot of the city where these people are walking around, and then you swipe your finger, and the city stays in place, but suddenly the city has Nova has crashed into the city, and you see people running, and he's crashed into the buildings. It's a really interesting way of using the media, and DC may have been first, but I'll tell you, Marvel's doing something interesting with it, so.
Yeah, I was just reading. Chance Peterson sent me something. I forgot who was doing it. I think it was like an independent, like by like Fraction or somebody like that. I forgot what it was, but it was a zombie based one. So he sent me the link to it, and it was cool because it showed like a zombie on the floor getting pinned down. And so I go to click to go to the next page, and then this animation comes sweeping in, and I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I
So.
mean, there's so much they can do, even with like audio or something, they could start putting that in there.
Yeah, like little GIF moving images back and forth. I would buy a few issues of that.
Me too. Especially for 99 cents. That
Yeah,
is a
99
pretty
cents, yeah.
decent deal, and it said it was 60 pages long, but it's hard to quantify that when you have one page and in some cases you're swiping your finger multiple times with different words coming up. So I think that's what they mean by pages, but yeah, it was basically Nova going into space and finding the fiery Phoenix, and he races back to tell the Avengers it's coming, it's coming. So that kind of started off the event. I don't know much about the event beyond that, but like you said, Chance and Nico are reading it, so I'm assuming they'll discuss that on the Chase variant.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely get to it.
Because I can't afford it right now.
There's like 900 issues,
I know.
so I don't know. It's I think I don't want to see Heroes Against Heroes. I saw it in Civil War. Civil War was cool, but I don't know. I think it's beating a dead horse with this Phoenix thing.
Yeah.
It just
Unless they're
keeps
bringing
coming
back Jean
back.
Grey,
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, if they are, that's what I'm saying.
I hope not, because I think it's going to revolve around hope. So, but see, here's the question I got. Nova was like the errand boy, so he goes to the Avengers. Why wouldn't he go to the X-Men
Don't know.
first to deal with it?
I don't know. I don't know much about Nova.
I just got done reading like from like the recent series from like 08, 09, and 10 of Nova. I read like issue like 3 through like 15. It was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. It was the whole Annihilation thing, and it was a pretty good read, and I might pick up a few more issues.
Yeah, he's a cool character, and really, to be honest, the first I'd really read of him was the digital thing I just picked up and read today, and it was interesting to hear him talk about the technology within his helmet and how, he's moving, at the speed of light or beyond, and his helmet helps him to not crash into stars and
Yeah,
planets.
World Mine.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's awesome. He's got like the whole power of the Nova Corps, and it's intense.
Yeah.
He could definitely be one of the strongest heroes in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah. And I think he's pretty well loved, and maybe this is kind of their initiative for bringing him back more to the forefront as he's playing an important role in Avengers versus X-Men.
He'd be a good mailman.
I would.
No,
Oh, he
Nova
would.
would. Yeah,
I was
Nova.
like, why?
Oh, if you want to be a mailman, go ahead.
It's probably more than I'm making right now.
Yeah, I don't know if mailmen are making good money anymore.
Well, that's the news, and let's go to our second part of the show, and that is reviews.
The dialogue is so great. I don't know where in the timeline this is all taking place. Fans of Deathstroke are going to love this.
What ends up happening is that other people start finding out about this.
It's a bunch of humans in these
full suit. These guys look pretty hardcore.
And I picked up, courtesy of Tim Morse on the forums, who has been kind enough to get us access to some, advanced reviews of comics. Dynamite and Boom and Image and some others. So I decided to take that time to read Witchblade 154, and I really enjoyed it. Have you read any of the Witchblade stuff?
No, I have. The only thing, I've never read Witchblade before, but on Netflix they have the Witchblade anime series.
Ah, yes.
So I want to get to that sooner or later after few of like 390 something movies and television series.
Yeah. Well, this one's written by Tim Seeley, who I believe he does the hack and slash stuff, right?
I do believe so on that one. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
And artist Diego Bernard, and this comes out by Top Cow. And if you haven't picked up any of Top Cow's stuff, this is a good place to start. You don't have to know a ton about the Witchblade or anything within the Top Cow universe. Just know that she's a super cool chick, and she has a really cool power where when she calls upon the Witchblade, she gets this kind of armor, and she's able to use all these different weapons. Her name is Sarah Pezzini, and she's the current bearer of the Witchblade, which means there has been other women in history to carry the mantle. It's an ancient artifact that usually takes the form of a gauntlet. And by gauntlet, I'm guessing they mean armor.
Yeah. I think, previously I think it was a cop who had it. I don't know if it's the same character, but, she wore it as, a bracelet type, hand gauntlet.
Right.
And she called upon it, and then she'd just, go ahead. She would lose all her clothes, be half naked, and there'd be, this gauntlet bone structure around her. So.
Right. And she can form weapons and all kinds of stuff from out of that. So
now, is it projectiles too, or just swords and knives and axes of that nature?
In this issue, I don't think she used anything like projectiles, so I don't know. And I've really only read another one of the Witchblade series that was free digitally. So, but you're right. She's a former police detective, and she moves to Chicago and is basically a private investigator. And so in this issue, it's kind of in the middle of, I think, a four-part series, but what started as an adultery investigation turns into a mystical murder mystery for her to solve. And basically, she finds herself right in the middle of a fight between this creepy-looking group called the Flesh. Now, the Flesh is these senior citizens who have used a mystical, fountain of youth to become young again. Well, in doing so, they've become young, but they have this terrible disease that it actually looks a lot like the Witchblade, but instead of being rocky and armor, it's all this gross flesh stuff.
Ooh, cool.
That's the name. And to add to that, I said she's in the middle of two groups, so it's the Flesh, and the other group is a really cool group of biker witches called the Brunhildas. And these are just a bunch of, good looking women on motorcycles, and they're all witches. And they want the fountain for themselves. So she's dating a magician who has been captured by the Brunhildas, and they are interrogating him and trying to find the fountain. So at the start of the book, you might be a little confused if you decide to read this, but stick with it. There's basically a vision of a man, or a man having a vision, rather, of this great evil that is coming into the Top Cow universe, and it's making copies of the major artifacts within the universe, which is darkness, the spear, and the Witchblade. And all right, so anyways, the major conflict here is she is trying to keep the Flesh at bay. Meanwhile, her boyfriend is kidnapped by the Brunhildas. And at the end here, we see that the Brunhildas have done a number on her boyfriend, and he's turned into some kind of a zombie. So spoilers. Going on into the next issue, we'll find out what exactly has happened to him. But he, I believe, is carrying another one of the evil artifacts. I think it's the Darkness. So
the Darkness.
Darkness. So pretty good book. Like I said, I'm on such a tight budget. I don't know if this is one that I would continue to pick up monthly for myself. But I did enjoy it. If Top Cow wanted to send me this issue for free every month, I'd be like, cool. So art is amazing in it. I don't know if you've seen the art that's typically in Witchblade books, but it's always good.
Yeah, they have like some really solid artists at Top Cow. And, you know, it's like the artists at Xenoscope. Those people don't get enough credit. Yep. So.
Yep, so if you're looking for something a little different, something from an independent company, give Witchblade a try. Steven, your review?
All right, okay, so I went into my crappy vault of comics again, and I found this pile of crap, I want to call it. It's called Xenotech. Sorry about that. And then, oh, looks like an A for some odd reason. This is issue number one. This is brought to you by Next Comics. Let's see. Let's take a look at who we got. We have, it was created, written, and drawn by Michael Dooney. So this dude did a lot of work. Let's see, we have the ink done by Robert Jones, letters by Mary Keller, and then colored by Eric Vincent. Okay, this gets me lost, like, right in the beginning. Like, they, like, put you, like, right in the action. So we have this guy. Let me describe the first character. This guy's name is, what is it? Starker Helm, and he's got this almost looks like Mr. Fantastic in a way. He's got the gray spot there on the sides of his like sideburns, but he's got like long, beautiful, luscious hair flowing in the wind in this issue. And they're on like a stakeout. He's with his buddy. He's a robot. He looks like a dog with wings called Haywire, and they're getting ready for some. There's some sort of portal opening, and they're about to go fight it, and this is weird, and this big green monster comes out. Looks like a miniature version of Godzilla without eyeballs, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's an alien, if it's a demon, but by the word Xeno, I figure it's an alien, and they're battling this thing, and this thing's just kicking Haywire and Harker's butt all through the comic. And, you know, they're like, where's this guy Chunk at? And Chunk is like this.
Guy from the Goonies?
No, not really.
That would be awesome.
No, yeah, it was Chunk, yeah.
Give him the Truffle Shuffle.
Truffle Shuffle power. But he's like a Stegosaurus, squared nose, Barney-looking creature, and he's brown. He looks like Barney, and he has these like two little horns sticking out in like the center of his head. It looks like crap. So they beat this alien or whatever and shove it back in the portal again. You know, nothing about where these portals come from, so pointless. They go back to Xenotech Incorporated, and there's this chick. They don't reveal her name, but she's got to be older than dirt, but she looks young. And she's like, I don't need people knowing about me. And, you know, these guys are going to put me out of a job. But that's her team, these Harker and Haywire and Chunk. And let's see. Then it skips around. They introduce another character named Pulse. She's flying. No clue what her powers is. So far with the characters, it looks like Pulse has flying abilities. I wonder if she has some electrical type abilities. Harker just has guns and everything. Chunk is the muscle. Haywire is like the computer nerd. And then they introduce another character who's running really fast. That's just how they're drawing the page. And I don't remember his name. Well, that's probably a good thing then.
when was this put out?
Blue. He's got this weird mullet ponytail. This is a crazy story. And he's wearing a suit like, I don't know if you're familiar with Ultraverse, but a guy named Catapult. And the outfit looks the same. And he gets scared by a cat. And, you know, his outfit comes to him, like, right away. He's wearing running gear. Then it transforms into this catapult gear. Okay, further along in the story, like, in the sub-background, you see this kid who's, like, hiding from him. And it goes on, some bounty hunter or something goes after the girl that I was talking about previously with who's supposed to be older than dirt. And he's got this BA gun that's like Rob Liefeld had to draw it because it's just so big. So it's awesome. So you see the crew, they're all like chilling at their computers in their little hideout, and they're like, oh my God, there's this. They're picking up a signal in the corporation, and it's right next to the guy with the catapult outfit. I still don't know his name, but that's okay. Sam. His name's Sam. So this other pulse is coming near Sam, and he's like, oh my God. Us, I don't know what they mean by that, if it's like a mutant, if they're aliens, if they're underground dwellers from, I don't know, some nether region. I don't know. It's crazy. This book did not make any sense to me.
But is this a recent book?
No, let's see. Let me see what year this was done in.
It sounds like a 90s thing.
Oh, dude, it was definitely 90s. Oh, yeah, it was 90s because they have previews for, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from Mirage. Let's see. There's a Savage Dragon number 4. So, okay. Yeah, 93. So,
cool.
You know, the art's not bad. I'll give it that. The art is not really bad in this book. It's just the story's silly. So they find this other anomaly on the radar, and it's a girl, and she's, like, getting sick with her powers. And they run across her in the hallway, and she beats the hell out of Chunk, throws him halfway across the thing. And then she takes off her jacket, and she has these 4 flat appendages like Dr. Octopus. And Harker's like, oh my God, you're like one of us. And I don't know what us means. What are they?
They didn't explain this in the beginning.
No, they don't explain anything. And they're human. They all look human except for Chunk. Harker looks like he just uses gun. This new chick that was at the end is like a Dr. Octopus wannabe, but with flat tentacles. So it's like he's like bitch slapping him or something. I don't know. It's really weird, Matt. I don't know. This comic was crap. I got it in an eBay bid. I got a whole bunch. I made a bid on eBay for a whole bunch of number ones. I think I bought it just because there's like 2 issues I wanted.
Right.
But it came with like 20 number ones. And this was one of the number ones. And, you know, it comes with some cards of the crew with little bios. I should have read those. I didn't.
Well, there's no existence of this company whatsoever on the internet. So.
Yeah, even, you know, Professor Google didn't even have anything on it.
Yeah.
So, but let's see, for, you know, we'll go with the same flow as next time. Let's see, it's got a advertisement for Stupid Heroes. This was another number one I got out of that eBay, and it's from Next Comics. Let's see what other comics they did. Bioneers, Stupid Heroes, and Xenotech. Mirage Publishing. And then we have previews for Ninja Turtles, and then Xenotech number 2. And on the back, there's a Savage Dragon and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover.
Okay.
93. Well,
if you Google Mirage Publishing, there's stuff about Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
That must have been what they were mainly tied to. Mirage Publishing is also a New Age publisher.
Okay.
New Age stuff.
I don't know. Mirage, I thought they had a different logo than the one they had here. So
it must have just been a little offshoot of Mirage.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I can tweet Eric Larson and figure out what this comic was and maybe get a little bit more info on it from him. Because this – and tell him that it was crap. So – the art's good, though. I'll give it that. The art was good. It's nice 90s art. So,
cool.
I give it about a 3 out of 10, literally.
3 out of 10 for the art.
So, everybody, pick up this issue. It's awesome.
I think you sold it.
I think I did, too.
Well, that does it for reviews. So, now we're going to take our little mid-episode break where we talk about StashMyComics.com and how you can find our wonderful podcast.
I love that site.
If you go to iTunes.com and click in the little search box, or just open up your little iTunes app or whatever you have, in the search box, just put Stash My Comics, and we come up there, and you'll see, gosh, almost 20 episodes now between this show and the Chase variant and some other good little tidbits, be sure to subscribe on there. I believe we're on Stitcher as well.
Yeah.
So subscribe there. There's an RSS feed on the blog. If you like the RSS kind of thing, you can subscribe to that. There's a million ways you can find us, but please find us and please do rate us. There's obviously also the blog. And, you know, we talk a lot about Valiant, and I thought it was fair to mention that the back issue Bend to the Future is going to be focusing on Valiant here pretty soon. And so you might want to go there and check that out before the new Exo Manowar comes out. And we will be covering that number one issue on this show.
Yeah. So you're going to pick it up, I take it?
Yeah. I've got a store about – I don't have one locally, but I have one about 30, 40 minutes away. Oh. And I told him to go ahead and order it because I wanted to – review it since we've been talking about it so much pretty soon.
Yeah, I'll pick up all these number ones too. So
yeah, they look interesting enough to get. You know, and I almost pre-ordered the Watchmen stuff so I could talk about it on the show, but ultimately I decided I don't want to spend more money on comics right now. So really? I've got Exo Manowar pre-ordered. I've got Earth 2 pre-ordered, so I'm going to leave the Watchmen stuff alone.
Do you know the price for all the new Valiants? Are they going to be $2.99 or $3.99 or?
They're going to be $3.99. Okay. Unfortunately. So
is the whole series going to run like that, you think, or do you know that?
It sounds like it. I pre-ordered, like I said, I pre-ordered from the shop issue number one, and then from DCB Service, I went ahead and got number two.
All right.
You know, which comes out in June, and that was it was discounted, but it was still a regular $3.99 price tag. So.
Okay.
Yep, unfortunately. I wish it was $2.99.
Yeah, I do too. You figure they would make it $2.99 just to get that, you know, extra push of sales.
Yeah. Yeah, even if you have to make it a little shorter, the $2.99 is a little bit easier on the old wallet.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's like, oh my God, it's like, look at me dropping Marvel. You know, too many $3.99 titles. Everything just went up, and it's like, man, if I cut like four of these titles out, I can pick up two more books.
Exactly. Yep. And if you go on the StashMyComics.com site also, you can use the, what do you call it? The
inventory stuff?
Yeah.
What?
That stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Keep track of your comics online on your mobile device. Sign up for free, and there's a gigantic database. Pretty much any comic that you have is in there. And what's cool is you can keep track of it, and if you're going to a show and you see a big bin of 50-cent comics right at your fingertips, you can have your collection there and not duplicate your issues.
Oh, I've done that a few times.
Oh, no, that's the worst.
Oh.
You get home and you're like, oh, I did have that.
Like,
dang it.
Man.
So, yeah, go to the site, sign up for the forums. A bunch of friendly people there. We love the site, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And the blog has so much original content.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot now. There is a lot. There's too much sometimes, I think, to keep track of.
People are always doing reviews, so if you are wanting to read something and aren't quite sure about it, the reviews are always good, and you can almost always find a review on something new. These guys are really good. Nobody's getting paid here. Everybody's just doing it because they like it. So please support the site, and we will move on from our little break and go on into the special segment.
Ooh.
And then at the end, we'll plug our Twitters and Facebooks and all that stuff.
All that
sound
junk.
Good?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That sounds pretty good for me.
Okay. So for the special segment we wanted to do, I decided we would do Toy Time.
Oh, I love toys.
Call it because I've been seeing a lot of cool stuff out there, and I know you cover the toys.
Oh, yeah. I am
like a natural fit.
I think I'm the only one on the site who has lots of toys and figures. I call them figures, but yeah, I have a pretty nifty. I got about three and a half 45-gallon Rubbermaid boxes full of figures.
Wow.
Still all in case. A lot of them are still in case. Some are displayed. Yeah, it's intense.
Well, my son just got the Batman Lego The little set with Catwoman in it. Have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah. That's a sweet set. I think it's like 82 pieces.
Yeah. I mean, it's $12 and, you know, he had been missing a Batman. I had to custom make him one, which turned out decently, but, you know, now we got the legit thing. We got Catwoman on her motorcycle and, he got that from my mom, thankfully. She picked that up because I was just totally broke. But I went by Walmart today and I saw the Batcave.
Oh, the Batcave's awesome.
But it's $70.
Yeah, it's rough. The Harley Quinn, have you seen the Harley Quinn one yet? The Joker's
haven't seen that in the stores, no.
Yeah, that's like $40 at Toys R Us.
Okay,
that's probably the best one out of the whole thing. It's got Harley, Joker, Riddler, Robin, and Batman. Did I just call the Riddler Riddlin?
Riddlin? That's the Riddler's son. He's always all jacked up on Riddlin.
So, yeah, that's actually a pretty cool set, this newer revamp. So.
And then, of course, they've got the Avengers set coming out, which I know you've seen previews
I've seen
of it.
Some pics of everything that's coming out.
The only weird one is the Hulk figure, because, I mean, they obviously had to make him bigger.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
It seems like Iron Man has, like, a head, something to matter with his head, too, because the head's bigger than the body, or the helmet piece, I want to say. So.
I wish they should do a Marvel versus DC Lego game, you know, since they're both in the Lego, you know, world.
You know.
Let's just make that happen.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because I know Marvel has their license with Lego now. DC has their license with them. I think it would only make sense. You know what I want to see in Legos? I want to see a Lego fighting game.
Oh, yeah, that would be hilarious.
That would be so cool. You know, they did Lego Rock Band. Look, we're going into video games now. But,
right.
But, yeah, you know, that'd just be cool to see. Oh, let's see. Have you seen the new I did a piece on it a few months ago. The new Marvel Legends figures that came out.
Yeah, in fact, I think I've seen them at the store. They're out in the stores, right?
Yeah, they're like I think like Toys R Us. I think they were $16.99.
You.
They are. Oh, that's a lot for a figure now.
Mm-hmm.
Crap. I think when we were younger, what figure was what like six bucks maybe at the most.
Yeah, I remember G.I. Joes were $3.
Yeah, I know Thundercats were like $4.99 or something like that. It's
steep. 16 for a figure.
Yeah, and you know, it's like a 10-inch figure. Yeah. They're nicely done, but...
Oh, yeah.
Man, and then the cool thing about that set is you get to make Terrax the Tamer, who's like double the size of the normal figures.
Cool.
But, yeah, it's getting ridiculous. You know, you're better off just going on eBay and finding figures.
Yeah, just pick up. I like the older, smaller scale ones, to be honest. I mean, the big ones are cool, but if I can pick up a bunch of, you know, the, I don't know what they call the scale size, the ones that are like G.I. Joe figures.
Yeah, Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
That's their big line right now. And, you know, they're like 4-inch figures, but they're nicely detailed. They got a whole, like, crap load of them. And they have pretty much every figure. I think they're at somewhere like 110 figures now. Or characters. Yeah. And
there's some of the older DC ones work perfectly with them. If you could sometimes catch like a 3-pack. Like they had a 3-pack Shazam, Black Adam, Mary Batson for sale.
Yeah.
At
Walmart. That's a common one. You can find that one like anywhere, that triple set.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. Oh, what other figures were there? What other cool ones were there? You know, the original Marvel Legends series was probably one of my favorites. From about 5-6 years ago. That's when I could spend $15 a figure. Because
you know
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what they have packaged is the Fantastic Four I saw at Walmart, but it's only 3 of them, which I thought was kind of dumb.
Oh, that triple pack that also has the brother and sister pack of Uncanny X-Force and the Space Heroes. Rocket Raccoon, Drax.
Yeah, that I saw that one too, and I really wanted to pick that up because I love Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, he's funny looking.
But it seemed like a rip. It was like, you know, you see Fantastic Four, and then I'm like looking at the box, and I'm like, maybe he's back there somewhere. Nope, just 3 figures, and it's like $22.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like, why would you want to pay that much? You know, prices, I think they do overcharge on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, and the plastic that they use, I'm telling you right now, is a lot less expensive to produce than the plastic we had when we were kids. It's cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
You can pull an arm off, like, no problem on these figures.
Oh, yeah, and plus,
it's,
you know, don't...
soft plastic.
Then you get into supply and demand economics and outsourcing. It's just, it's crazy. What about, let's switch over to busts. Busts and statues. How do you feel about those?
I would love to have some, but I do not. Do you own any?
Yeah, I own, let's see, one, two. I got five of them.
Wow.
So I have a ChicagoCon exclusive of Kitty Pryde, and it's phasing. She's in mid-phase.
Oh, that's
so, like,
cool.
The top of her body is solid, and then it starts phasing out, and she's got Lockheed wrapped around her. And that's probably my baby. I spent $75 on her, I think. I think it was $75. I want to say it was $75. I found that at one of my local comic stores. And then I have a Daredevil Earth-X bust, which is that's probably one of my favorites. It was a cheapie. It was I think I spent like $35 on it. But, you know, it's nice, durable resin, and definitely good stuff. And what other ones I got? I got a He-Man one of Stratos. And then I have the Darkness from the movie Legend with Tom Cruise. And very, very nicely done. And then I have, I don't know if it's a bust or a statue, but I have an Army of Darkness frame one.
Ah, nice.
And there's only like 3,000 of them made.
Cool.
And I found that at one of my local flea markets. The guy had a whole bunch of them, and he was selling them for like $3.
Wow.
So I bought like three of them, and I put two on eBay, and I made $85.
Wow, really cool.
Yeah, so I was like, whoa, this is awesome. So, yeah, that's my bust steal.
Dan, do you have a special place where you display these?
Yes, I do. I went to IKEA, and they had a really nice all-glass case. I spent like $70 on that, and that's where they're all at, and I put all my special figures. You know, I have some of the wedding, you know, pictures and all the nice things in there. It's more like a horror type theme case, though. I have all my bust on the top, and then I got some wedding stuff on the second tier, some horror stuff on the third tier and fourth tier. So it only makes sense, like, with all my wedding stuff. You know, I got married on Halloween, so we had like a Halloween type fall type wedding. So everything was like skeletons and zombies. So that goes in there. But yeah.
Well, do we have any other toys to talk about? I'm
toys,
to think.
You know what? I should just, man, if I pull out my boxes, I could probably have a whole bunch of things. Oh, the cool things. It was my addiction about 2 years ago were the Mighty Mugs.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah.
Oh, my, I have so many Mighty Mugs. And then they came out with a new bunch, but they're mini Mighty Mugs of the Avengers. Yeah, and, you know, they got Hulk and Abomination, Loki and Thor, Cap and Red Skull. They're just so cool. They're awesome. You know, they did Transformers, G.I. Joes. They haven't done DC yet. Lots of Marvel ones. The best one, I think, is Galactus. The Galactus Mighty Mug is probably one of the coolest toys I have in my collection.
Have you seen the... I've only seen it at Walmart, but they've got those little balls, and inside of them are the little tiny figures. They almost look like a cheaper version of the Hero Clicks.
Yeah. I saw those about 2 weeks ago for the first time, and I'm like, what the hell are these?
Yeah, they're like 97 cents.
Yeah,
they look like little gumball prizes or something.
And I'm like, I'm not wasting my money on these.
I know. They don't look very good. If they looked like the Hero Clicks ones, then... I would pick some of those up because I have some of the Hero Clicks. But
yeah, I got like I collected the Marvel Zombies ones, and I actually bought about, let's see, like six booster packs to find them all. I was surprised with how lucky I got with them, because usually you'd have to buy like 94 packs and spend, you know, almost $2,000 to get them all.
I don't even play the game, but I thought the figures were cool.
No, I got actually lucky in one of my packs. I guess I got like some super rare Emma Frost one in diamond form. And it's cool. Yeah, I guess it goes for like $25 on eBay or something. It's ridiculous. I'm like, I need some money.
Now, you mentioned on an email to me talking about comic book cards, and you've mentioned on the show how you have a lot of them. Is that something? They don't do that anymore, I'm assuming, right?
No.
No more cards for anybody?
No, they do still make cards, but not mass.
Man, they're poorly advertised if they do, because if you go into Target or Walmart, you don't see them anywhere.
No, you know, I've seen a few over the years, like Marvel Masterpieces, like Series 5 or 6. I don't know what they're on now. Yeah, you just don't see them anymore. You know, it's not a big market. You know, a lot of stores won't sell them. I know my store won't sell them because when they used to sell them in the 90s, people would steal them too in the process. So, but
yeah, I miss cards in general. I mean, as a kid, it was all about sports cards and Garbage Pail Kids and comic cards. It just I miss that. I wish that would come back.
You know, I like me personally. I have, you know, Marvel Series 1, 2, and 3. I have Marvel Masterpieces 1 and 2. You know, I got the Gremlin movie cards. I got Savage Dragon, Shadowhawk, the Wolverine set, the Spider-Man series, like the few Spider-Man series they did. I have a whole bunch of cards. And it was cool because it helped me personally as becoming like a guru of comics because and characters. Because you get the quick little synopsis of the character, powers, first issues usually.
Yeah.
So it was a really cool way to learn characters faster.
Yeah, like comic book flashcards.
Exactly.
That's why I pick up the encyclopedia ones, because I love just having those on hand.
Oh, the Marvel handbooks? The ones from the 80s, late 80s are just awesome.
Yeah.
But now everybody's got like 5 different origins now.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, what do you want me to, what's real and what's fake here?
You have to just learn them all.
Exactly.
Well, we're about out of time here, and I thought it would be fair to mention that we are still waiting on our 10 reviews on iTunes. We've stalled at 3, so if you haven't done an interview yet, you can still get in on it. When we get to that point, I'm going to throw in some comics. I'm sure Steven will throw in a couple. And Igor from the site said that he would be willing to throw in a Exo Manowar Valiant from Valiant poster.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, the prize package is going to be cool. So we got to get to 10, though, if you want to be in the drawing. And
yeah.
I might think about setting a time limit because it's unfair to those who have done it. So
yeah, I wonder
next
if,
show we'll make a timetable.
I wonder if we can enter in that. I got enough comic book junk.
Yeah.
Don't need it anymore.
Well, cool.
All right.
I guess that does it for episode 10. If you liked us, go on iTunes and do a review. Like we said, we're going to be giving something away eventually here. And be sure to go on the forums and join the conversation there. You can reach us on facebook.com/stashmycomics, as well as twitter.com/stashmycomics. My Twitter is twitter.com/mattbpodcaster. Steven, yours is?
Is Sparks Are Flying High, but it's not A-R-E, it's just an R.
Just an R, okay. So. Hey, and many thanks, Jason, if you're listening to this, for all that you've done for the site. Jason's going to be taking sort of a leave of absence, as it were, from his responsibilities on the site. We appreciate everything you've done.
Most definitely.
Yep. All right, kids. Well, enjoy comics, and we'll see you next time.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.